Great to be here today. Just a little bit about myself. So I oversee Intel's efforts in digital marketing and media specific to our employer brand. So employer brand just means that everything that my team does is in effort of making Intel a most desirable place to work globally. So we want to be viewed by future talent as a great place to come to work. So just a little bit of background about myself. I live here in San Francisco. I've been here for about 15 years. I come from the East Coast. My hometown is Erie, Pennsylvania. And if you don't know Erie, you should Google snowiest cities in the U.S., and it will be number one or number two every year, which is why I live here now. And I have two young sons at home, and in the time that I'm not working and not taking care of my kids, I love running, hence my Twitter handle, RunningJen. So if you want to chat with me about digital or social or running, feel free to connect with me there. So I'm going to talk to you today a little bit about diversity and inclusion at Intel and what this means and how we are using this as one of our communications platforms externally. But before I kind of dive in, I thought I would just share a quick video that will help to give a little bit of background on what I'll speak about. So I'll just carry on with some of the next kind of pieces of the conversation that we can come back to the video in a second. But what you'll see in the video is the diversity and inclusion efforts at Intel really took root with an initiative that we started and that we announced at the biggest consumer electronics show in the world, which is called CES, which was held this time was January in 2015. And our CEO stood up at that show and made a very public announcement that by the year 2020, Intel will have achieved full workforce representation within the U.S. And what that means is that by that point in time, our employee base will look like the available talent base in the U.S. So in the regions where there are an available X percent of Native American men in this particular role, that we will have that percent of Native American men working in that job, or African-American women, or you know what have you, that we would be fully representative of the available talent pool in that region. Should I pause? Do you want to try? Or?
If we want the technology industry to define the future, we must be representative of that future.
Cool. So in that video, you got a little bit of a peek of what I was referring to there at CES, our announcement to support a diversity initiative. Let me get into a full screen mode here. There we go. Hopefully that shows a little better. Okay. Right, so this is our CEO, Brian Krzanich, and you heard him make mention there in that video that we need to be representative of the future. And so the two things that were announced back in 2015 were that we would achieve full workforce representation by the year 2020. And the second thing that he announced was that we were committing $300 million towards that goal. So you can't hire diverse, underrepresented minority talent in technical fields if those people don't exist in the talent pool. So a large portion of that $300 million is going towards what we call pipeline development, which helps us to create a pipeline of talent coming in that's really representative of the entire globe. And so that's what that fund was all about. The other thing that we are really focused on in our diversity and inclusion efforts is transparency. So we committed to transparently share our progress towards our goals twice a year, and we're doing that. So we've defined these goals within each one of the talent segments, and we are sharing publicly our progress towards those goals. We're also sharing how we're doing it, some of the programs behind it, because in our view, being able to help the industry to embrace diversity in their workforce really helps us all. So there's a very large role of digital and social in this, which is what I'll talk to you about here, because that's primarily the way that we connect with future talent today, and the way that we're able to reach them is through digital and social. But before I get into that, I wanted to talk just a little bit about what does diversity and inclusion really mean, and what do I mean when I say those words? So diversity is really, it's vast. It encompasses gender, ethnic background, sexual orientation, disability status, veteran status. There's lots of different things that are encompassed within the term diversity. But we really believe that diverse teams deliver better results, which is why it's so important to us. And the second piece that's really important to us is inclusion. And I think that inclusion sets the stage for diversity. So inclusion means that you as an employee are welcome and we embrace you to bring your full self to work. So you don't have to think about, you know, gosh, I need to pretend that I'm this person, or I need to make sure that I fit into this mold, or I need to dress this way. I can be who I am when I come into work every day. So I'll give you a personal story of what that means and what that meant to me. When I studied industrial engineering in school, I went to Penn State, and I was one of about four women in my program. Graduated from that and moved over to Intel, where I joined the Technical Sales and Marketing Leadership Program. I was, again, about one of four women in that program. I took my first job in one of our sales offices, and I was, I think, one of three women in the sales office. So you can see where the story is going, right? You feel very isolated, and there aren't many women that I could look up to and say, that's where I want to go, or, you know, to really kind of feel like I had that association. Well, over time, there's been a lot of change, and I've seen many more women at Intel take leadership roles. I've seen many more women in management. We've just, you know, seen a lot more. We've really been embracing and supporting women and mothers at the company. And when I had my first child, I was really conflicted about whether or not I should come back to work. I loved my job, but I was also really enjoying being a mom. And so as it kind of came to, I ended up saying to my boss, I said, you know, I don't think I want to come back after maternity leave. I think I'm going to resign. And she said, wow, she said, that's an amazing decision to make, to be there to support your family and to you know, make that choice. And she said, but, you know, if you want to, you could come back part-time. I was like, I didn't even know that was an option. She said, yeah, sure, you know, that's an option, and, you know, we can support you in doing that. And so by doing so and, you know, recreating a role for me that was going to fit my schedule and, you know, my ability to give what I had to give to the company at that moment in my life, she really made me feel included. And I felt like, you know, yes, I'm a part of this company and I can give what I have to give and do a great job in a way that works for me right now. So it's just, you know, kind of my take on it. And it's not all of it. It is about the people. It's always about the people. But in addition to being about the people and doing diversity and inclusion because it's just the right thing to do, it's also about business results. Diverse teams perform better. And we've actually done a lot of studies and have worked with industry studies to show this. The highest degree of racial diversity in teams produces 15 times more sales. Firms with females in the C-suite generate $44 million more in average revenue and often see increase in performance against goals up to 57%. So there's lots of different studies and lots of different research that actually prove that diverse teams really do perform better. One of the women at Intel who I, you know, really respect, one of the top engineering leaders, once made a comment that if we are going to design products that are meant for the world to use, we need to have people designing them that are representative of the world, which I thought was a really astute insight that she had. So in terms of how we then bring this concept out through digital and social media, so we've been doing this for about 3 years now, and over the course of those 3 years, some things have changed over time, but essentially it all really boils down to two key communication objectives. One is we're trying to shift the perception of Intel. We're trying to change what people think about Intel from a company that is blue button-down shirts, white and Asian men, working in cubicles, boring, stodgy, and that's it, to show what it really looks like, which is that video that you saw. Those were real people, and we actually just went down to the cafeteria one day and set up a camera and filmed whoever wanted to let us film them. So those are actually, if you walked into the cafeteria, those are the types of people that you would see walking around. But we need to let that out. We know that, but I think the outside world doesn't know that. So one of the key communications objectives was to shift the perception. And the other is to create a vision of Intel as a place that I could work. So it doesn't matter who you are. If you have the skills and the talent that we're looking for and the experience, you will fit in because there's probably someone else just like you there. It was also fundamental to our strategy to use data. So Intel has a bit of a We're a bit fanatical about data. We use it a lot, all the time. We really rely on it for everything. And that's no different in marketing. So we use data to tell the story. So the way that we told the story about diversity was we set very specific goals and very specific percentages in different segments of where we needed to achieve certain levels of diversity. We showed our progress towards those goals. We also used things, for example, a multicultural corporate strategic direction that we did, which is a large piece of research that shows us the impact of multiculturalism within the company. We used that. We definitely relied on sentiment and trends as we rolled out the social and digital components of the campaign. And we used data points that we knew from the research that we had done. For example, diverse leaders are 2 times more likely to hire diverse candidates. So things like that that kind of help us throughout the campaign. And then we also absolutely used data to measure how we were doing. So we were doing lots of performance analysis on the social media activations that we were doing, lots of monitoring throughout the entire campaign. I mentioned this, but one of the key components that I think differentiates the way that we approach diversity at Intel versus how some other companies that I've seen talk about it is that we are really fully transparent. So I believe that we were the first company to ever do this, but we report our diversity statistics twice a year, like I mentioned. We do this publicly, and not only are we sharing the statistics about our diversity numbers, but we're sharing how we're getting there. So we're doing certain things that others in the industry could do, including competitors. But you know, our viewpoint is that to the extent that all companies can do these things better, it's just better for everyone. So I'll give you one example. There's a program at Intel called the Warm Line, and this is a 1-800 number that anyone can call. It's also an online tool that you can go to. And no matter what's going on, no matter what problem you're having or what challenge, whether you feel overworked and you're up until midnight every night, or whether you feel like your boss is not treating you fairly, or you're, you know, heaven forbid, feeling some type of discriminatory pressures, or whatever's going on at work, you can come confidentially and talk to one of the trained advisors who is an Intel employee who will talk to you about it and help to resolve the situation. And ultimately, the goal of it is to create a great working environment for you as an employee, and to retain you as an employee. You know, we spend a lot of money acquiring talent and bringing new talent in, so we want to retain top talent. So this Warm Line is one way that we do that. Now, we could have just run this program and said, you know, hey, this is great. You know, we're able to increase our retention rates by X, and we're, you know, doing such a great job, and just kind of kept that to ourselves, and we didn't. That program has actually become a component of the external marketing that we do, and we're sharing that with the industry in the hopes that others might do something similar and help their firm as well. These are the key components that we use in our campaign building for our diversity campaigns, and they are paid, earned, owned, and inspired. I'll talk a little bit about each one of them. We'll start with paid, because that's probably the most apparent and in some cases the easiest to tackle. Here's some examples of some of the paid media that we ran, and most of this was run on social media. Some of it was run in digital, but we, you know, kind of do your typical media planning. You know, we look at where we need to reach certain audiences and where they reside and where we can get the best media efficiencies by reaching out to these audiences, develop creative that we think is going to both tell our message as well as resonate with those audiences, and we run the creative. And there's an element of earned in this as well, because as you all know, to the extent that you put forward a great message out there, you can hopefully rely on your social media audiences to then further that message by sharing it. And so we did see some of that with some of this work. And these are all employees, by the way, too, which I think also helped because many employees were motivated to share this because these are people that they know. This is our website. So this is the owned component of the campaign. These are kind of a couple of different screenshots of it here, but you know, you can see the snapshot of our people, and you can see that you can go into non-technical U.S. employees and you can get a breakdown for exactly what this looks like, or the leadership of our company and get a breakdown of what that looks like. So it's very interactive and you can kind of click around and see that. And there's lots more on our website, but this is the owned component of the campaign. And then there's what I call inspired. So these are the employees. And this has been a really important part of our diversity efforts. Our employees. And we approach this at a couple of different levels. At the highest level, at the most senior level, this is our CEO. He's kind of up on the center left there, Brian Krzanich. We do work with him and with his office when we have an initiative in the diversity area or, you know, in any area that benefits our employer brand. We'll work with him to come up with a communications plan for that. And in many cases, he wants to tweet about it. He wants to talk about it. He wants to support it. So developing that relationship such that he can support our initiatives, you know, he garners us many more impressions than even some of our paid media do sometimes. So that's a really valuable valuable tactic there. All the way to, you know, some of the folks on here are individual contributors at Intel who may or may not have a large social following, but they're still impactful. And so enabling the employees who really want to take a stand for what we're talking about, which can many times be very personal, enabling them with the mechanisms to easily do that has really benefited our overall campaigns as well. Okay, so this all sounds all well and good, right? Everything is great and things are just moving along swimmingly until we got to August 2016. And in August 2016, some of the results that we had to report in that mid-year report showed that our trajectory towards the retention of technical women was below where we wanted it to be. So we put out a goal for where we wanted to be each half year, and we were falling short. And we just agreed that we were going to be transparent, so we couldn't not report it. We couldn't cover it up. We couldn't fudge the numbers, so we reported it. A lot of our other numbers were good, but this one was not. And it was noticed, of course. TechCrunch said, Intel has a leaky bucket. They said, this apparently bears repeating. Putting resources towards attracting and hiring diverse candidates is useless if you can't retain them. I'm looking at you, Intel. So it was pretty direct. It was pretty bold. And it definitely warranted our attention. But by having the monitoring mechanisms in place, we knew that this was coming out probably before it even came out. We were able to monitor all of our social media activities that were going out with various messages and kind of tweak different areas. So certainly we weren't hiding anything, but we definitely weren't putting media behind communicating a message that wasn't going to be well received. And so we kind of tweaked our media plan. We had a lot of press to respond to, but you know, this happens, and that was kind of how we dealt with it. There was another situation that came up at another point in time of our campaign, where we ran some creative that our audiences didn't like, or they didn't feel that was very sensitive. They said, you know, Intel, this is reverse discrimination. What's out with the old, in with the new? Are you not hiring anyone who's over age 50 anymore? What about us white guys? Show me an African-American who actually works there. These are things that people actually said to us on our social channels when we published the creative pieces that we had worked so hard to put out there. And, you know, there were some things that we learned from this. One was that the story that we thought we wanted to tell wasn't really the story that our audience wanted to hear at that time. And we were not being thoughtful about their point of view in how they would respond to the story. We also learned that when we use the word diversity in our copy or in our creative or in our posts, that just triggered this immediate almost defense mechanism for a lot of people. People don't like that word. A lot of the audiences we were reaching, they didn't like it. They found it very, very offensive almost. And we found that the more creative that we ran with that word in it particularly had triggered that response, whereas when we didn't, that didn't happen. So we kind of reframed and you know sort of rephrased a lot of our, we stopped running certain pieces of creative, we edited, we adjusted, and we you know started some others. But that was another key learning that we took out of it. So it's not all roses, you know, but we were able to garner some learnings from it. And luckily we were monitoring things by the minute and we were able to get ahead of things before they really blew up. So, and then just to kind of bring things back full circle, we have actually done not such a good job that we feel like we've sandbagged our goals, because I don't think that we have, but we've done a pretty good job towards getting to where we wanted to be in our 2020 diversity goals. And so actually our CEO said, well, you guys are doing such a good job, we're going to move the goal in. It's 2018 now, not 2020. So now our new goal is by the end of this year, we will achieve full workforce representation by the end of this year. So that is now the path that we are on. So just a couple of parting thoughts before we open up for any questions that you may have. And those are Transparency in today's world is really, it's necessary. You might as well be transparent, because if you're not, you know, others are going to, you know, be able to dig around and kind of find the information anyway. So we felt that, you know, just by being transparent from the get-go was the best approach. And I do think that stands. It also demands that marketing teams are really built for velocity and responsiveness. You have to be ready to respond globally, immediately, no matter what time of day it is, no matter what day of week it is, no matter what holiday is going on. You have to be ready to do that, not to kind of sit back and think about, oh gosh, how do I get a hold of this person? Now it's, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning their time. Think about that up front and build processes in place so that you're ready to go. We talked about this a little bit, but the story we want to tell isn't always the story the audience wants to hear. So always thinking about marketing communications from the viewer's perspective or from your user's point of view and what might resonate well with them, and then create the story and weave your messages into it. And then the last one, that, you know, a good mix of paid, earned, owned, and inspired channels is highly effective. And it also really helps if, you know, something's not really performing or you're having an issue in some situation, that you can kind of toggle things up and down and come up with a better mix that's working for you on that particular day. And thank you. Our next report is coming out next month at the end of the month. So you can look out for it if you're interested in how we're performing against our diversity goals then.